Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Hallville. I feel a little bit like Cakes this morning because you often have eye issues due to your allergies.
Sure.
Now, this is not because of allergies, but I have two things going on. My eyes are going crazy. Number one, put together the tall Christmas tree in our house. It's a fakie, but it's about 15 feet high.
My eyes are going crazy.
I cut my eye on like a branch.
I see there's a little bit of
so I have a cut underneath it.
Actually your eye or the skin?
No, the skin underneath the eye. Mm-hmm. So I have an abrasion, a cut.
You definitely do.
And I don't know what to do with it. If I put Neosporin there, then it's too close to my eyeball. Mm-hmm, it's just weird. So I just got to ride it out, and I have a little scab. And the second thing is, I don't know if it's because of that, but then I like develop pink eye, and I have to put in like eye drops in during the breaks. My eyes are going crazy.
I need to stay a million miles away from
you. Yeah, that's super contagious, right? Yeah, How do you get that?
Usually it's
like
not,
I have to make out with them or something?
Probably, yeah. Stay away from JP today is the bottom line. I'm staying a million miles
away. Don't want to use your pen or anything.
You got pink eye.
Yeah. All right, but right now we're going to talk a little more Commanders. John Keim covers the Commanders for ESPN.com, and he joins us now. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Hey, that's not contagious over the phone, is it?
I don't think so.
Stay away.
I think you should be okay. You definitely can't get the cut from the Christmas tree like I did.
No, you can't.
Okay. I suffered a Christmas tree injury, Cakes.
You're a klutz, apparently.
Dude, that tree is hard. It's 15 feet high.
That's brutal.
John,
it's amazing the injuries that we suffer as we get older.
Yeah, that's
John,
true.
Let's start with the defensive play of the game. Daron Payne, deflection. Kendall Fuller, another big interception. This team's finding ways to make plays, which they weren't early in the season.
You know, it's funny about that because when they're down there and we're – you know, you're watching the game, and my first thought was like, you know, in the past, you're thinking, okay, which does that? How are they going to score? You know, and how much time is going to be left, et cetera. And the other part of me, I was like, watching this team the last 7 weeks, I'm like, who's going to make a play? You know, and then you have the other thing is Marcus Mariota. You kind of figure at some point he's going to throw a bad pass. Now that wasn't a bad pass. But it starts with Daron Payne getting really good penetration. And these guys have done an excellent job all year of getting their hands up. This is something that, I mean, every defensive line coach is going to teach them to get their hands up. But they absolutely work on that a lot. And Jeff Scanina, the defensive line coach, has this drill where you're hitting the sled, you get there, you know, he'll throw a volleyball at you, you got to get your hands up. So there's a lot of emphasis on that. And so it starts with that. And then it's also with a guy like Fuller being in the right spot and then getting a fortunate tip to get your way. But again, what I go back to, you just kind of figure they're going to find a way because that's kind of what they're doing now. And it's really kind of funny to think like that, given where they were at earlier this year.
John, do you think the defense was borderline surprised that Mariota threw the ball from so in close, especially considering how much success they'd had running the ball against them throughout the game?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know, because they did have a lot of success running the ball, but they weren't. It was a little bit tougher down inside there, and I do think, you know, you would have had to have expect a pass at some point. So I can't say you would be. I don't think they were overly surprised, but you know, I mean, they had some success stopping the run closer in, and I just think at that point, you know, they're going to throw at least once.
Yeah, and first down, we should credit Montez Sweat made a really nice play. So they lost
a huge play.
They lost
Absolutely.
2 yards on first and goal from the two. So now it's second and goal from the 4, and like you say, short field. So that is probably, I actually think that on that, you probably are almost expecting a pass.
Correct. And then, you know, the other thing, too, is I also thought Mariota was a little bit lax with that throw, a little bit too relaxed, but I'm going to credit Payne for good penetration and getting that hand up. And then Johnny Allen was being double teamed, which left Payne with a one-on-one. And those guys win one-on-ones. And essentially, you know, by driving them back and a quick throw, he wins that play. So, and Fuller's there. What's curious is, like, you kind of thought, but would he have scored if he catches it? But I think Fuller is going to be able to tackle him. They're certainly getting another shot at a score. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, and this has happened. This has been like this all year, where even in Chicago, they, you know, you'd have somebody would drop for a loss. I think maybe it was Montez, maybe even that game. You know, they make these plays at the goal line that set themselves up for success at other points. There was another game where Cam Curl makes a stop, and it's at the 1-inch line, and then you get a stop on the next down. And you're putting them in a worse spot. You know, Jamin Davis has the big stop in the 1 goal line stand. So this happened all year where they really kind of rise up in that situation. And it's difficult because to keep doing that, it doesn't happen all that often. But I think the more you do it, the more that you have confidence that it's going to happen versus in the past where you kind of knew it wouldn't happen.
All right, John, let's start with the positive. Brian Robinson has his first 100-yard game of his career. He gets a game ball after the game, gives a little speech afterwards, wears the big hat. It's all fun.
Yeah.
This is probably what they were hoping for and expecting coming out of the preseason, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, I almost wrote those exact words about 20 minutes ago. But yes, it is. And When they got him, they wanted a guy who could run like that between the tackles. And Antonio Gibson can be a very good back, but I think they liked him in a different role, which is what we're seeing now. And it gives them the ability to kind of ride the hot hand. And certainly yesterday, Robinson was that guy. But I think the encouraging thing for them, too, is, you know, the first however many games he was back, it takes time to work your way back, especially when you haven't run in the NFL. And then you're coming off surgery for this gunshot, you know, the gunshot wounds, and to get your way back and to get comfortable. And with Robinson, where you really see it is that he's pressing the hole, and his vision is really, I think, taking him to another level right now. And so there are a couple runs where he's able to suck the linebackers inside or the defensive back and bounce outside, and not just bounce, but get out there with some quickness to get more yards. And I think, you know, I was asking, like, what's the difference now between where you were a few weeks ago and now? And he's like, now he's able to start looking, using the second, getting that, before his focus was get to the second level. Now his focus is using the vision to get beyond there. And you can see that. And I also like how the confidence he's running with, and you see that, like, he turns the corner, but he squares his shoulders back up so fast that it allows him, he had that one run where bounces around left end, and he immediately squares his shoulders. Because of that, you know, guy levels them, but then another guy hits him from behind, but he's able to spin out and get like 3 or 4 more yards. I mean, those are big boy runs, and that fires guys up. So yes, this is what they were expecting and hoping for.
Yeah, it's been so fun to watch. So glad to see. Well, I'm a little concerned that they're not getting Jahan Dotson involved again the way he was early. I mean, all I care about is winning, but he's a huge weapon, and I don't know why they haven't been able to use him.
I agree. I think he's very good. I think the hard part for them is that they're such a heavy run team now that they're kind of a different team from when he was in there the first time. And that was with Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. And with Wentz, they wanted to throw more. And Dotson was a bigger part of that. He had a good chemistry with Wentz. And when you watch, and I have to go back and watch it just, you know, because I like to see, like, is he getting open? And the answer is usually yes. Mm-hmm. But there are limited reps, and when you're a heavy run team, you're using more tight, you know, multiple tight end sets, which cuts down on his reps. And then they're using sometimes De'Ami Brown, because De'Ami Brown, Cam Sims, guys like that, they do block well, and that's going to cut into his reps more. So at some point, you've got to get him more. They're winning. At some point, I would guess he will be more involved because he's good. And but I think it's at this point, there's such a run. Like last week, they had 15 receptions. I think what was it this week? It was like 14 or 15. So you don't have a lot of passes to spread around right now. I think that's a big part of it too. But it's just they've really changed their emphasis since he was in there the first time. But again, kid's good. And I think at some point when they're able to – yeah, when they're able to start throwing it again, I think he'll be more involved. And I don't know that that's going to change with what they're doing now. With Heinicke a quarterback, this is what they're going to be. And so that's going to limit his opportunities.
So, John, was Chase Young sidelined yesterday more for the illness, or they looked out at the field and said, I don't know if we're going to have Chase, you know, debut on a slick field? You know, it's been, you know, with the massive rainstorm coming through right at 1 p.m.
Yeah, and on Friday, Rivera said that would not be an issue for them. And so even on Saturday, you started to hear that it wasn't trending well, you know, Saturday morning, that, you know, they're still going to work them out Sunday, but that it wasn't trending well. I think, you know, so it wasn't a big surprise. And so I think it was a combination. You know, certainly the illness was the main reason in the end, because they did want to see how he worked out Sunday after and see how the knee looked after a week of work. And not just, again, it's not that is it healthy or not, it's just how does it respond? Because when you're pushing it for the first time like that for an entire week, which it was, you know, he was able to show more and what they wanted, that is there soreness, is it looking the same after several days? So, but they didn't get that chance because of the illness. So I think the illness was the main reason in the end, but I don't know that it was trending that he was going to play. They certainly saw more last week of what they wanted. Absolutely. And there was a lot more optimism than there was the previous week. But I think, you know, I would say it sets up well for this week, but I think at this point it's going to be like, wait and see. We'll see.
All right, John, I don't want to lead the witness. Give me your thoughts on the quarterback and the quarterback play.
I think they're winning. And there's a lot of flirtation with danger. We've seen that. I think one of the things I think they're going to need more from the pass game at some point. But right now they're winning and the teams are playing. I think they can win the way they are. But I think you're going to need to see some, you know, I think that here's the problem that I have with some of the stuff with Taylor. Obviously makes some plays that really help them. And I think there are throws every game where I think it's a direct result of his familiarity with the offense. You know, sometimes the ability to manage a game, but that usually comes from that confidence and familiarity within the offense. And you see that. I mean, that play action pass, I think, is an example. There are throws every game like that. If the hard part with any sort of a change at this point, this is something I talked about on my podcast, is that we don't know where Carson Wentz is at in this offense. You know, the last time we saw him, he was still not as comfortable in the offense. And so there were times where he might hold the ball even a little bit longer just to make sure. Well, is he better than that now? We don't know. So to change now, you're risking that aspect. I think there are times where you have to look and say, well, if they play the same style with Wentz, how does the passing game then look as a result of that? Does he get more? And I think that's something you can rightly ask. But I just don't know. And the other problem is that when you look at, like, you know, Heinicke flirts with he had the interception and almost had a second one. And the first interception was just a really bad decision. And but we've seen Wentz make those same type of throws over his career. So you know, is that going to change? It's not like you'd be swapping out Heinicke for a healthy Alex Smith who takes care of the ball and really would fit what this kind of team wants to do. So that's the hard part in all that decision. I think, you know, but again, I mean, there are definitely times where Heinicke makes some bad decisions, bad throws, and there are other times where it's like, okay, that's why he's in there, and that's why they're going to stick with him, and they are winning. And I don't think that Rivera is going to change anything at this point. And keep in mind, like last week when they made this, when they announced him, Wentz wasn't even active. So I don't know that he was quite ready to come back. So was there, you know, was it, I don't know if that, so I think the bigger factor is going forward. But again, they're winning and they seem reluctant to change anything because of that. And I think you ride it until you don't.
Right. I think that's what, I think it's exactly what they do. They ride it until they don't. Yeah. But I think the they don't could happen at any moment with Taylor.
Correct. I agree with that. Agree with that. And,
here's the thing, John. Let me just point this out. Is that, like, for example, when you look at the Philly game where we sacked nine times and we didn't even look like we belonged to be on the same stratosphere with that team, they didn't protect him the way they protect Taylor. It was just five offensive linemen getting overwhelmed. Now they have tight ends, they have running backs chipped, all those sorts of things. And I would love to see at some point, when not now, has to be when it goes bad, but I'd like to see Carson given the kind of protection they give Taylor, that kind of protection, because I think you'd see more production in the passing game.
Well, and I think that's I would tend to agree with you on that. And I think they're a different team from when Wentz played in that game, for example.
Totally different.
Brian Robinson has changed the way they can run. And I think, you know, getting the tight ends, I thought, yesterday were really good blocking. And, you know, having John Bates healthy, Cole Turner but now out there, Logan Thomas more like himself. You know, things like that make a difference. Trey Turner is a better player than he was then because it was he'd missed all of camp and it really showed.
Tyler Larson's been huge.
And so, I think they're a different team and they're putting themselves in better spots. And then here's the other thing. I think in that early in the year, if you're Scott Turner and you have Carson Wentz and you have these three toys outside with McLaurin, Samuel, and Dotson, you're going to want to throw more. Well, now without him there, they've been forced to be this kind of a team, and this is their identity. That would be my question is, do you fit him within your identity, or do you try to sling it a little bit more because you have a guy with the big arm? And
just
I think that would be
thing.
My one.
Just do the same thing.
Yeah, if you do the same thing, then you can fit it in there, and then use it because then you're putting yourself in better spots. And Heinicke, that's where the familiarity, though, helps him in this offense. There were a couple of throws even last week where you're like, if he doesn't know this offense and hit that plant step and go, it's a sack fumble. So any sort of hesitation looks differently and as the end result, right? And I think that's where he really helps. And again, that's my thing with Wentz. Is he at that point yet? We don't know, right? I think mentally he might be, but physically on the field, is it transferring? We don't know yet. And so it would be a risk, a slight gamble there. But I agree, like, I'm curious too to see, well, how different would it look? Would it be a better passing, a more consistent, more dynamic passing attack? Or is this just the way they need to play right now? Because again, there are questions and it's not like Wentz is always careful with the ball. And I think that's something that, you know, you would look at too. But I agree that it wouldn't shock me at some point if they go up in New York and it's like, it's just sputtering and it's, you know, then could you see it? Yeah, I could. Because then you get the bye week and whatever. But I don't know that, you know, we'll see. I mean, they keep winning. And if you're going to keep winning, again, you're going to roll with them.
Can't change when you're winning, no doubt.
Right. And he does make plays every game that helps them. And you can't, it's hard to overlook, like, what he means to those guys with his style. But there are questions if you go the other way and it's, I think if it was someone who had a deeper familiarity with this offense, it'd be a little bit of an easier move to make.
Right.
Just got to enjoy the wins. That is five out of the last six, or six out of the last seven. They are 7-5. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
John Keim covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Remember, we've got RG3 coming up at 9:40 here on the Junkies. Coming up next, we'll tackle the Sean Taylor Memorial and how the Commanders handled that.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know, sometimes I put up the Junkies poll of the day. We do that every day, presented by Van Meter Homes, and I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Pretty confident how this one's going to go, but I actually have three options, and okay. It's what we're going to talk about now.
All right.
The Sean Taylor Memorial was, your choices, well executed,
okay,
and poorly executed,
okay,
or a debacle. You can vote at Junks Radio. Let's get into our thoughts on it. I was under the impression there was going to be a statue.
Well, I was too, but maybe we were just led down a path where a few people just said statue, and we
correct.
Just, that's what we were expecting.
Correct.
During the unveil,
because a lot of people then said they never said statue.
They never said statue. They said memorial installation. I believe was the way it was being framed,
right,
and being sold.
Right, and I expected a statue. Instead, we got a mannequin, a wire mannequin with the Sean Taylor jersey.
I legitimately thought, when I saw it on social media, I thought somebody was running an elaborate goof. When I saw the, I want to call it a statue. It's not a statue. It's a weird hybrid of
like a
mannequin.
It's like a piece of art or something. It looked like it was made out of coat hangers.
As Drab said, it looks nothing like Sean Taylor. There's a jersey. There's a helmet.
Maybe it's not
there
supposed
cleats.
To.
Let me ask
it
you a question.
It looks nothing like him, and it's not even like an iconic play. Like, they could have picked an iconic play. It's something that you, like, if you walked into The Gap,
yeah,
does The Gap even exist?
I think so, yeah.
It looks like something that would just be on a mannequin at The Gap.
I just don't understand why there wasn't a statue. Like, I guess statues are expensive, but I mean, this is a team that's valued at $7+ billion.
I actually don't think a statue would be that, like some concrete thing.
Or like a bronze statue can't be that expensive, right?
It shouldn't be cost prohibitive.
Outside of M&T Bank Stadium, there's a beautiful statue of Ray Lewis, and it's in, you know, like his iconic thing where he's like raising a knee and his arms are outstretched. I mean, and it looks, hello, exactly like Ray Lewis.
And it's a, like, Ray Lewis moment. Like you said, an iconic moment that is signature,
right,
for Ray Lewis.
Like how about a statue of, I don't know, Sean Taylor blowing up a wideout during a play? Or just a statue that actually looks like Sean Taylor, like would have passed.
It's so amateurish. You can chime in, 800-636-1067. You can call us in the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also text us on the Tom Screen Windows text machine, 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. Or tweet us at Junks Radio. Your thoughts on the unveiling. And even the people that were there, like there was a crowd in the team store. And then when they pulled back the curtain or whatever the heck it was.
It was grown city.
it was like, that's it?
There was not raucous applause.
But it died out so quickly. And Matt will grab the audio here.
The family seemed pleased.
No, the family was pleased.
Well, I guess that's
the family
all that
was pleased about. I saw the daughter talk about the cleats. Like there were a lot of people making a thing about the cleats, that they were soccer cleats. I think they might have even said World Cup.
Yeah,
like if you zoom in on the cleats.
Yeah, apparently that was his thing.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm not going to kill him on that. I'm going to kill him on the coat hangers and the fact that it doesn't look like a Sean Taylor play or anything. Like you could have had it. Somebody sent a picture where like he's dragging down. He's tackling somebody.
Yeah,
and it actually looks like Sean Taylor. Like this could be it. This could be cakes.
Also,
with the Sean Taylor jersey and a helmet.
I'm persnickety, and Drab is too when it comes to uniform nerdiness. He's wearing, Drab, correct me if I'm wrong, he's wearing Reebok football pants, and he's wearing a Nike jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a cardinal sin. Like, he should be wearing exactly what he was wearing when he was a Washington Redskin. And I'm guessing if he's wearing Reebok pants, he's wearing a Reebok jersey. And if you have to repurpose a Nike jersey to look like a Reebok jersey and slap the Reebok logo on it, do what you have to do. Or get an old one from someplace, I don't know, like a memorabilia store. You can't slap a Nike jersey on top of the Reebok
pants.
It's
embarrassing. It's a bad look. I'm not even focused on that. Brandon hits my opinion, all right? He tweets us, a mannequin for a team legend is embarrassment.
Agreed.
That's how I feel.
Like I agree with
the
JP
coat
Finley.
Hangers. And
I listened to JP Finley's pod on the way into work today, and I completely agree with him. If you're the Commanders, this is your sign now to get out of the Sean Taylor eulogy and memorial business, at least for the short term. Like you've had two cracks at it, and they've both gone poorly.
It's very strange that this organization really, like, they really shove Sean Taylor, like, down the throats of the fans almost. Like, it's like every year there's like this. There's a new thing honoring him and everything.
You get the sense that they're using
his
legacy
to buy. Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
You just have to cut it off at this point. Like maybe next year around the time of his unfortunate passing, you run some sort of video montage in the stadium, and that's it. Don't draw attention to it because you've done that the last 2 years, and the results have been poor at best.
Yeah.
At best, they've been
poor.
Yeah,
it's all right, we're counting on the Sean Taylor day to really, you know, get interest and, you know, get some extra fans here, or, you know what I mean? Get some rah-rah spirit with the team.
It feels a little insecure.
Yeah.
Insincere.
Yeah.
You know, like they're using his legacy to try to build some good favor. And that kind of rubs me the wrong way, too.
To be honest
with you.
When it came out and when they did the unveiling, I said, I go again?
Also, Dan Snyder didn't speak at the unveiling. That people pointed that out.
Was he even there? He was there?
I don't know if he was there or not, but he was not present at the unveiling or speaking. Like, yeah, there was no real speech, I thought.
The only thing is that I'm not going to get too worked up about it. I thought it was lackluster. It fell flat. The family seemed to be reasonably happy with it, so.
But they had an entire calendar year to get it right from last year.
Did they announce it a year ago that they were going to do it?
No, they just had the debacle last year.
No, I understand.
Knowing that
but
they were
when
do
did
this.
They announce they were doing this? Like 2 weeks ago, right? Because it feels like
it was rush
two
job
weeks to put together.
We said it.
You know what I mean?
It's amateur hour. It's typical of the organization.
But if you're high up in that organization and you see what the plans are, can't you step in and say, guys, this is embarrassing. We can't unveil this. We're going to get mocked. It's going to be a mock-a-palooza, which, hello, it's turned out to be for the second year straight.
Yeah.
Like somebody's got to step in. Somebody's got to be the adult in the room and say, we can't pull the burgundy cloth down on a mannequin from Macy's. It's freaking embarrassing.
I'm just kind of speechless by the whole thing. I don't know what to say.
It's crazy.
And I hate just beating them up all the time for every single misstep.
I know, but this is something that they planned it. They planned for this to happen. This is not like it was just an accident. This is planned by the team and the organization.
I'm actually stunned. 4% have voted well executed.
Wow. You know what? They all have hashtag HTTC in their bios. That 4%.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067.
Team can do no wrong in their
eyes.
How
do you think the Sean Taylor Memorial was executed?
All right, let's go to Kevin in Centerville. Hey, Kevin, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing this morning, guys?
What's up?
All right, I was there yesterday at the game, and I was at the ceremony, and when the cloth came down, there was a kind of a noticeable hush. As I think we were trying to figure out, well, what is this thing? And then my thing is Jason Wright, is he the one responsible for this? Because I agree with you. Somebody's got to be the adult in the room. How come I'm looking – well, at this stage of the game, I don't think that Jason Wright – I mean, I don't think Dan Snyder is intimately involved in these kind of things. So we could stop blaming Dan Snyder, because when stuff like this has been going bad, I've been blaming Jason Wright. Someone said, hey, we should get a guy that has that's a local guy, somebody who knows what Sean Taylor means to this fan base. Mm-hmm. You know?
I think Jason knows at this point. I think he does understand. I honestly do. And I'll be honest with you. There are some this had potential. Like, I think, like, the glass encase thing and the lighting and everything. Like, that could have been pretty cool. So there are some positives.
I mean, it had potential, but
it had potential, but it did fall flat. Like, if they put
it, it did fall. Yeah, it was just such a noticeable hush of, oh God, they did it again. This can't get right. Front office is just terrible. They did it again. I mean, because I'm like, everybody was expecting to see this Ray Lewis like statue.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And then we get this mannequin, like you said, It looked like something they threw together from the team store.
I agree.
I mean, it looks like something I would put out in front of my house for Halloween.
like a scarecrow.
You know what it looks like? The big skeletons that you get from Home Depot?
Yes, my neighbor has one, a 12-foot skeleton.
It looks like the 12-foot skeleton.
Except with
Redskins gear on.
The way it's enclosed, I almost felt like they should, like, if you're going to go that route, put a hologram in there. Would have been better off with a hologram.
A hologram would have been way better.
That's silly.
Because it would, hello.
Like a lifelike thing, like moving around.
Well, like, yeah, like a Coachella. Hologram of, yeah, like him, it a would couple look of
like
plays.
Taylor, like at least. Tupac rapping. Like,
if you walked a kid by that doesn't have any idea who Sean Taylor was, you can't point to it and say, that's Sean Taylor. Because there's not even a face inside the helmet.
It looks like they put the jersey and the pants on a coat hanger.
That's the weirdest thing. I have a hard time wrapping my head around it.
That'd be butt funny. They just had a hanger with the jersey on.
I've seen some tributes in locker rooms, like to players that have passed, better than that, to be honest with you.
This team and organization, they can't get out of their own way. They stumble at every turn.
The joning online gets me.
Let's go to Mike in Ashburn. Mike, what's up?
Hey, guys. I had an issue with this before the unveiling. Is that why is Sean Taylor getting – I understand he passed away. I understand he was a good Redskin. But we've had great, great Redskins that have been Hall of Famers that were with the organization a lot longer, like, let's say, Darryl Green, John Riggins. One of those guys, I think they really missed the boat. That why do we keep going back to Sean Taylor when this organization had so many better players on the field and off the field? That is it just because he passed away?
He was cut down in his prime. I think that's the key reason for it.
But I think that you're right. It'd be nice if they had some tributes to those guys too.
100%. Yeah, I mean, this is 2 years in a row, and they've debacled both of them. And maybe, you know, let's turn the page and let's move on to some other Redskins that have been there.
Well,
you know,
maybe we should wait till the new ownership group comes in, and then we can tribute these guys correctly.
Yeah, like, get out, like, the Dan Snyder-led, Jason Wright-led tributes, let's put those to the side for now. And it also smacks of Dan Snyder being on the verge of selling the team, just not caring. Like, it reeks of Dan Snyder not giving any more F's.
Well, I don't even
about,
do you think Dan even had anything to do with it?
I mean, I would guess he probably saw it before they unveiled it, I would guess.
That's so weird. I actually think a mannequin would have been better. Like, if it was a mannequin.
It's basically a mannequin.
It's a coat hanger.
It looks like something you would see at Dick's.
It's really no different. It's just an empty coat hanger.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's disrespect to Sean Taylor's memory is what that is.
I think they
to
tried
me.
To respect him.
They tried to be like modern and artsy.
I think they're trying to be artsy.
I don't know.
I think they're trying to be artsy.
How about, you know what?
Stop being artsy.
How about a statue?
People recognize. That they got so much criticism and this is an easy fix. I'll bet anybody, just $5 right now, that they put tape on that. By next home game, that there will be tape on that face mask.
That's a great call.
Does anybody want to make that? No.
They should put crime scene tape on it.
Well, okay, that's a crime scene. But they're going to put tape on the thing.
I'll take it if you take mine, that they'll have another tribute next season.
Another Sean Taylor tribute.
Lucky for everybody, that can move to the next stadium. That's part of the appeal, the allure.
Your updated poll brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Well executed, 5%. Poorly executed, 31%. A debacle, 64%. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Victory Monday on the Junkies, presented by Chiniga Mios, a 2022 top workplace. Visit MIOScareers.com. That is 6 wins in 7 games for the Commanders. Play the music, Cakes.
Got it right here.
Should bask in these moments. We haven't had many during the course of our radio career.
2 games over .500 for the first time since 2018.
Very nice.
For Washington.
And that's when Alex Smith was the quarterback before he got injured. And they're winning games in a similar style. We will get back to the Commanders coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll ask you if their defense is a championship defense. We've been saying all along it's a playoff defense. Is it a championship defense? We'll tackle that at 8 o'clock. But let's go around the league real quick with the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Offenbachers. Visit them in Annapolis, Rockville, or Herndon for a huge selection of outdoor furniture, fire pits, hot tubs, and swim spas. So the Commanders are 7-5. We'll focus on the NFC playoff picture where, yes, they'd be in because the Seattle Seahawks lost to Cakes' beloved Oakland, now Vegas Raiders.
That's right. Silver black, baby. Just win.
Josh Jacobs was a monster. He ran for 229 yards and two touchdowns. He also had over 70 yards receiving, over 300 yards from scrimmage. Raiders win that 40-34. So the Seahawks fall out of first place in the NFC West, and they would be on the outside looking in playoffs with the 6-5 record right
Raiders
now.
Raiders outrushed the Seahawks 283-65 yesterday.
49ers now atop that NFC West. They shut out the Saints 13-0. Jimmy Garoppolo had a touchdown pass. Defense pitches that shutout. I would guess the Saints go back to Jameis after that performance.
They've had opportunities to turn back to Jameis, and they keep handing the ball to Andy Dalton. The Saints, to me, is basically a borderline tank.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
So I'm kind of starting with the bottom of the NFC playoff picture, but let's go back to the top. So the Eagles have the best record. They put up 40 points against the Packers yesterday. Jalen Hurts ran for 157 yards.
Well, he had 100 at the half. I mean, he was just unstoppable.
Two touchdown passes, but also 157 yards rushing. They improved to 10-1.
But by the way, overshadowed Miles Sanders' day. He had 143 yards rushing and two touchdowns.
We saw the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, which, by the way, had 43 million viewers, the most of any game by far on Thanksgiving. The Cowboys were impressive, beat the Giants 28-20. Giants starting to kind of regress here, though they're still 7-4. So the Cowboys are 8-3. Giants are 7-4.
Yep.
That was a game which Zeke ran for 92 yards and a touchdown. Dak had a couple of touchdown passes.
Is Saquon not coming back down to earth a little bit? I think he is.
A little bit.
Right?
He got in the end zone. They had a touchdown early in the game. Daniel Jones made a couple of nice passes, but it was taken away by a penalty. And they're not built to come back.
Let me just tell you this. Saquon can kill us. All right. He could single-handedly beat us. But in his last four games, three of them he's rushed for 53, 22, and 39.
Yeah, I mean, teams are going to try and make Daniel Jones beat them. And they don't really have good receivers.
And they've also had a bunch of attrition on their offensive line in New York.
That makes a difference.
Bodes well for the Commanders' defense.
But both teams would be in the playoffs. So all of the NFC East teams would be in the playoffs right now. Vikings improved to 9-2 as they beat the Patriots 33-26 on Thanksgiving. There was the Hunter Henry touchdown, no touchdown. I think they made the right call. The ball moved, right? What'd you
think? Looked like it moved a tad, but it seemed like a ticky-tack call. But
it was Bill Belichick after the game.
By the way, primetime Kirk came up big, threw for nearly 303 touchdowns.
Can we get rid of the narrative that he can't come up big in primetime? He's won a playoff game. He's won a few times in primetime now. I don't know.
The Buccaneers lose to the Browns yesterday. They fall to 5-6. That's an overtime loss. You know, you look at Tom Brady's numbers. Does he have just one interception this year? Like, it's very low. Maybe it's two interceptions this year. But their offense just isn't right. And they have their pieces back. They've got Godwin. They've got Evans.
Evans has struggled the last three or four games. Hasn't really done much. Yesterday, they were taking some deep shots to him, not connecting. He was covered pretty well deep down the field. He has two interceptions on the year, 14 touchdowns.
Maybe we can touch on the AFC a little bit later. But that's kind of your NFC picture. On Thanksgiving, you saw the Lions lose the heartbreaker to the Bills. Probably mismanaged the clock there at the end of the game. They were going for their four straight, so they dropped to 4-7. Bills improved to 8-3 there. Josh Allen made an incredible pass to Stephon Diggs. Got the ball back with, what, was it 23 seconds?
Yeah, as soon as I saw 23 seconds on the clock, I was like, well, Josh Allen's going to lead them into position to win the game, and that's what he did.
So they're still chasing the Chiefs. I guess we can sneak it in now. Chiefs are 9-2, beat up on the Rams. The Rams started
Bryce Perkins
from UVA.
Yeah.
Their season's done. They're 3-8.
Their season has gone.
Super Bowl last year.
It's gone completely sideways.
I like the Perkins story, but man, he.
You may like his
story.
He might
be playing in the wrong position.
You probably don't like his numbers. 13 for 23, 100 yards passing, a touchdown, and two pickles.
So Chiefs are 9-2. Bills are 8-3. Dolphins now 8-3. They've won 5 in a row, beat the Texans 30-15. As Cake said, they could bring in the backup quarterback early in that game. Bengals and Titans are 7-4 as the Bengals beat the Titans. Joe Burrow, nice touchdown pass to T. Higgins in the fourth quarter of that game. And then you got the Ravens getting upset by the Jags. They went on a two-point conversion. That was actually a really good game from Trevor Lawrence. That's the Trevor Lawrence that people expect. Three touchdown passes in the game and the game-winning two-point conversion. Chargers won on a two-point conversion.
Can we go into – was that a real post from Lamar yesterday that went viral on social?
Oh, yeah.
Or was that like a burner or did it
no, happen? he was replying to, I guess –
A troll,
yeah. To eat a D, he told him to.
I mean, Lamar's got to be – he's got to be better than that.
Aggressive tweet. I just think that he should be above it.
Yes.
Lamar's too silly.
If we can learn to – ignore trolls. Uh-huh. Someone of Lamar's stature should.
He's way too silly to be down in the dirt.
I mean,
with
it
the trolls.
Was. If you read the tweet,
I read it.
It was really, really bad.
Wasn't great. Yeah. Wasn't a good look.
Just a great
look.
Some
would say it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, but he's just too big. He's too big time for that.
It's
now.
A tough loss for your boys, though. I mean, if you're competing for maybe the best record in the AFC, it's going to be tough now. You got to beat the Jags. But the Jags and the Chargers both went for two at the end of games and both converted to win their games. Chargers stay alive in the AFC playoff picture. And the Jets, they're alive 7-4 as Mike White had himself a day.
He had a really good day.
315 yards, three touchdown passes. Garrett Wilson, the rookie receiver, had two touchdown passes. Look what happens when you bench Zach Wilson.
Elijah Moore had one. The receivers are basically throwing a party during the postgame in the locker room because Zach Wilson got benched.
So things are getting interesting in the AFC with all those teams at 7-4. You've got the Bengals, the Titans, the Ravens, all at 7-4. Dolphins 8-3, Bills 8-3, Chiefs 9-2. All right, coming up next, we get back to the Commanders. The defense made a huge play at the end of the game. Kendall Fuller with the interception after Daron Payne deflects the Marcus Mariota pass. Is this defense a championship defense? We'll take your calls next at 800-636-1067 on the Junkies.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.